All right.
You got your mic on, please?
No.
Okay.
But I'll turn it on. Now, I ain't going to put on no magic show now. I'm going to tell you that now. I want to use these for an illustration tonight. If you have your Bibles, if you would, open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I want to try to encourage you some tonight, if the Lord would allow me to. And I pray that He will. I pray that He'd speak to our hearts tonight. Amen. I'm like the preacher said, you know, unless God does something, there'll be nothing done. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Amen. And Brother Gillespie was talking about that. Unless God speaks to your heart, especially if you're lost without God, unless God speaks to you, you won't be saved. That's just that simple. Amen. So we need God to speak to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing that we've heard, Lord. And I do thank you, Lord, for allowing me once again to come and preach, Lord. Now, Lord, I need your help tonight. I need it every time, Lord, every time I get behind this pulpit, Lord. Even when I wake up in the morning, Lord, I need your help. And, Lord, throughout the day, I need your help, Lord. And I need your help tonight, Lord. I pray that you'd help me. Now, Lord, and I do pray, Lord, not only me, but those out there that may be discouraged tonight, I pray that you would speak to them. I pray for that one that may be here lost without you, Lord. They don't know you as their Savior. I pray tonight that you'd save them before it's ever eternally too late. Now, Lord, we just give you this service, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to have your will and way. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you'd walk up and down the aisles and speak to each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 1. We'll start with that. It says, it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was called up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for me for man to utter. Of such an one I will glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Lest I should be exalted above measures, through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God, of Christ, may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Now I want you to look at verse number 7 again, where it says, and lest I should be exalted above measures through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measures. Now I want to preach tonight on this one subject, thorns in a Christian's life. Thorns in the Christian life. Let me say that God would rather give you these roses here than thorns. And I believe that everyone would rather have roses, but God may say thorns are more needful at this time. No one here likes thorns. What if some of you husbands came home and your wife had the lights dim? They had soft music playing and you settled down for what seemed to be a very romantic evening and meal, And then right in the middle of the dining table, here sits this vase of thorns. I don't think you would like that too good. What if you, some of you wives would receive a box from the florist and you open it and it's a box of thorns and a card from your husband saying, just thinking of you. Why, ain't that right? That would be something. As old Festus used to tell Doc on Gunsmoke that he had put knots on his head faster than he could rub them. And that's what your wife would do to you if you would send her a box of thorns. No one that I know of likes thorns. They're ugly. Ain't that right? They're very ugly. And the question is what was Paul's thorn in the flesh? That's been debated time and time again. And all we can say for sure that it was some bodily trial which God allowed to come into his life. Now, I believe the Lord purposely failed to specify exactly what the thorn was so that you and I could have a closer kinship with the apostle. Now, that we might be encouraged and helped by Paul's unnamed but yet painful experience. Now, our trials may be very different from Paul's, but I believe that all trials, especially if they come from God, should produce the same exercise and fruits, don't you? I mean, we all go through trials and we all go through storms. We all go through heartaches. We all go through suffering. But according to what I read in the Bible and understand of the Bible, they're different. There are many, ain't that what the Bible says in James? Divers, many divers. In other words, many multicolor trials and temptations that you go through, but they should produce the same things in our life. Sometimes God places a thorn in our flesh, ain't that right? Something that we can't forget, something that we cannot get over. And what God's trying to do is help you to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. I mean, that's exactly what he's trying to do. Now, there are several things that I want you to keep in mind before we get on into this message right here. See, this thorn right here was very grievous to Paul. He said in verse number 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. So it was very grievous to Paul. But this thorn was very glorious to God. In verses 9 and 10, it said that God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, he says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. He says, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. So God used the thorn in Paul's life to bring glory to his name. Now, instead of Paul complaining and grumbling about the thorn, Paul would simply get down on his knees and thank God for it. Paul would rather boast in his infirmities. He would gladly endure the thorns if only the power of Christ might rest upon him and God be glorified. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when trials come in my life, I don't exactly like them. I don't exactly like problems. Do you? I mean, the Bible says I don't have to like them. Ain't that right? Even though the Bible says they're more precious than gold, and sometimes I'd rather have the gold, wouldn't you, than the problems that we have in our day and the problems that sometimes it seems to befall each Christian. Ain't that right? Now, I believe the key to understanding this is found in verse number 10, where we find the expression for Christ's sake. Now, it's only when we are conscious of our own weakness and nothingness that we most depend upon the power of God. And it's when we cast all of our cares upon him in complete dependence that his power is then manifested to us, and only then can we stand strong. We can't do it in our own strength. Ain't that right? I've been through some trials and some heartaches and some suffering and some physical pain and all that. And without the Lord, I couldn't have made it through it. I mean, it was a constant reminder every single day of my life. And so anyway, there are several more things I believe that we need to keep in mind before we get into the message, the heart of the message, that is. Now, thorns in the Bible are used for illustration sometimes. Now, the Word of God uses thorns to describe land under judgment. Read that in Isaiah 34. It describes unbelief, Isaiah 32. Pain in Proverbs 26. False prophets in Matthew chapter 13. And so we see that thorns are used in the Bible for illustrations. Not only that, but thorns are used in the Bible for irritation. Ain't that right? Now, we've already seen in the life of Paul how that thorn irritated him so bad that he went to the Lord three times and prayed. Now, I believe that God would have said to Paul, Paul, I'd like to give you roses. These right here are very beautiful. He said, I'd like to give you these, but thorns are more needful now. And you'll understand this in just a moment when we get into the message. Now, I've seen some Christians that seem to excel in their Christian life. Have you ever seen anybody get saved and all of a sudden they begin to excel in the Lord? I mean, I'm talking about they grow by leaps and bounds. And then I've also seen other Christians that's been saved. And it seems like those folks sometimes go through heartache, have to go through suffering. I mean, they come right out of a trial and they're right back in it again. I mean, it seems to me that those folks now, they just have trial after trial. They never give up, but thorns we are more needful for them. I don't know why, but God has it set up that way. Now, but anyway, I want us to look at some things that I believe that'll give us a better understanding of why some trials now, listen to me, I want you to look with you tonight at some things that I believe will give you a better understanding of why some trials are not removed from our lives. In other words, we're going through the same old trial over and over and over again. And then why there's a constant reminder of certain things in our life. Now, ain't that right? I mean, we wake up. Let me put it to you this way. We wake up, if you lost a loved one here recently, I mean, I know that I lost my daddy. He died at a young age. And anyway, I think about him. I still think about him just about every day. Every day I think about him. What's he doing and where is he at? I never did hear my daddy witness. I never did hear my daddy pray. My daddy never carried me to church. And I don't really know if he's saved or not. They said he got saved. The preacher said he got saved in the hospital. I don't know. I really don't know. But I think about him every day. Maybe you lost a husband. Maybe you lost a wife. Maybe you lost a daughter. Maybe you lost a son. But every day of your life, you're thinking of that heartache. Every day of your life, you're thinking how you miss them, how you love them, what you wished you'd have said to them while they was alive. There's always a constant reminder, sometimes of sadness that's put in our life. Sometimes we can't get over the trials. I mean, we go into one, and then quick as we get out of that, we think we got that master. Here pops up another. Another thorn in the flesh. Another thorn just to seems like to drag us down. But not in God's eyes. Only in our eyes it drags us down. Paul said, when I'm weak, he said, then I'm strong. So I want to look at some things tonight, right quick, that I believe it'll help us out. Let's look first at the producing of the thorns. We find that you don't have to turn there. I'll do all the turning. You just sit back and listen to what I'm preaching tonight. And I believe that'll help us all out. But in Genesis chapter 3, We see in this chapter the fall of man. After Adam and Eve sinned, we find in verse number 8 of chapter number 3, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, what a beautiful place. I do believe that the Garden of Eden was a beautiful place. And I believe that Adam and Eve were, they were in this beautiful place, and everything that, to make them happy was given to them by God. It was a world without sin then. It was a world without sorrow then. And God had brought them there to occupy this perfect place and furnish it with everything needed to make life content. There was not a single need that God had not provided them with. But somewhere in the perfect environment, man became discontent with what he had. Then we see that a forbidden fruit was offered and taken. It was offered by Satan to Eve. It was offered to Adam by Eve. And then Satan, then sin, started a course that has reaped a destructive course throughout these ages here. And God told Adam, he said, after passing sentence on Adam, on the serpent, and then on Eve, he said, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Then in verse 18 of chapter number 3 of Genesis says, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And so God then sent man from the garden. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to have a little spiritual imagination about what they did. And I can see old Adam and Eve now, sometime later. I can see Eve as she goes out to gather some flowers. And as she reaches for that stem of that rose, she quickly draws back her hand. Something is different now, something painful in her hand. I believe that Eve thinks back to a perfect place. I can see now there's a constant reminder to her that these thorns, that what stuck in her hand is a constant reminder to her that sin has now been born into this earth. And then I can see Adam. I can see sweat running down his brow. Something sharp and very painful enters his foot. As he tills the ground, he reaches down and he pulls out one of those thorns there. And then his mind goes back, like Eve, to peace and to a place where fellowship and communion with God was constant. I can see Adam and Eve now standing over a lonely grave of their son Abel. A place where roses bloomed. Both thinking, if only I had it to do over again, I would have never taken that forbidden fruit. Here they are now, they're burying one of their sons and getting ready to say goodbye to the other one. He's gone now. God done sent him to a land far away. And so I can see Adam and Eve now. They know what that thorn produced. They know what that thorn stands for now. It stands for a curse. It stands for sin, what it does. So I believe that we can see in these verses of Genesis that the thorns are produced because of a fall. The Bible tells us, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And I want to say, till the curse is lifted from this old earth, the thorns will always be a reminder to us that the wages of sin is death. I think about the scripture over here in John chapter number 19 and verse number 2. And here we see not only the producing of the thorns, but we see the placing of the thorns. In John chapter 19 and verse number 2, it says, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple rose. You see, that's what the Bible says. This was a symbol of mockery right here. This was a symbol of shame. This was a mockery of his claim to royalty here. And he went through that open shame and open humiliation. Man have already seen that they've lost their rights over the earth through sin, and the fall brought forth thorns as a curse. But Jesus wore this crown of thorns to restore man to a relationship with his Father, so that one day a man could wear a crown of life and a crown of righteousness. Thank God for that. Christ was crowned with a curse. Jesus Christ was born as a king, and he lived as a king, and he died as a king, and the only crown that he wore was a mocking crown of thorns. This crown was a symbol of sin and shame. It represented a curse. But I want to say that also that Christ was crowned with a cure for fallen man. I'm glad of that, ain't you? I'm glad he's the great physician. Amen. I hope you don't mind me taking off my coat, brother. But anyway, we see he was crowned with a cure also. In 1 Peter chapter number 2 in verses 22 and 23, it says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." Every single drop of blood that was shed that day, every drop of blood that streamed from his pierced side, his wounds from his brow, he was paying for my sin. He was paying for your sin. He was paying a debt that he did not owe. He was paying a debt that I owed. Thank God he made that payment for me. I remember a song, the title of it, "I'm the One," and the words sort of go like this: "There lays the crown that fell from his head. All the blood is dry on the thorns, and there are the sandals they took from his feet. See how they're dusty and worn. There stands the mother in tears, for she just lost her son. He died on the cross for someone he didn't know, and I just realized I'm the One." Ain't you glad you're the One? Amen. I'm glad that it's that way, ain't you? I'm glad that Paul says, "I know." That's what he says in that scripture here. "I know whom I believe." Ain't that right? "And I am persuaded." Amen. "I am persuaded. I know the Lord as my Savior. Come what thorns may be in my life, I still look up to Him because He's my Savior." He did not suffer for his own sin because he had no sin. In him was no sin. He knew no sin. He committed no sin. That blood was shed for you and it was shed for me so that we could be redeemed. We sung that song, "Redeemed." I like that, didn't you? Redeemed. In this verse of John, I see the thorns are placed because of a fault. And that fault was mine. And that fault was yours. We needed redeeming. We needed salvation. We needed cleansing. Lastly, I want to look at the purpose of the thorns. Let me turn back over here to my Bible right quick. In chapter number 12 of 2 Corinthians in verse number 7. He said, "Unless thou should be exalted above measure to the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Whether mental, physical, or spiritually, I can be honest with you tonight, and I cannot tell you what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. I can say that it was some trial which God allowed to come into Paul's life, that he carried throughout his lifetime. I do believe that. There are many thorns that come into a Christian's life. I found out that many years ago. There's a thorn of poor health. You know, people just have... I had a man call me today, cried on the phone. He said, I'm not getting any better. He said, I don't know what's wrong with me. He said, I'm just not getting any better. Modern medicine can only do so much, and that's just it. But he's got a thorn in his flesh now. It's a thorn of poor health. There's a thorn of bereavement. As I've already stated, you lost a loved one. You can't get over that. It's heartbreaking. And every morning you wake up and every night when you lay down, it's always on your mind. You're thinking about that. You're thinking about that wife that maybe you lost or that husband that you lost. I mean, not lost. We know where they're at. They're saved. They're in heaven. Ain't that right? But still yet, knowing that does comfort. Ain't that right? But sometimes it don't ease the pain because we're still in this flesh and we miss them. Is that not right? We do. We miss them sometimes. A daughter, a son that may be out in the world, or a husband that won't get saved. And that's a thorn. It's become a thorn in your flesh. There's a thorn of discontentment. There's people never satisfied. There's a thorn of discouragement, always down. There's a thorn of distrustfulness, never trusting God with things in your life. And you're to look at him and cast all your cares upon him. But no matter what your thorn is, God has placed it there in your life. You may not believe that, but God has placed that thorn in your life. And God is saying to you, whether we believe it or not, God is saying, I'd like to give you roses, but thorns are more needful now in your life. He's saying that. He's saying that tonight. Whether you believe that or not, God don't take pleasure in hurting us. He don't hurt us. He don't take pleasure in our sufferings and stuff like that, only when we give him the glory. You may be saying, well, why? I believe we can find the answers in these verses right here. Thorns come so we may know the sufficiency of Christ. That's the reason why trials come. We need to see the sufficiency of Christ in salvation. Paul says, I knew a man in Christ. He says, I know. Paul was speaking of himself. There was a change in his life. And friend, you'll never know the sufficiency of Christ until you know that you've been saved and there's a change in your life. Amen. Then we need to see not only the sufficiency of Christ in salvation, but in strength. Look what he says in verse 9. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Living Christ on the inside is more sufficient to endure the circumstances on the outside, that's for sure. Then we see the sufficiency of Christ in salvation, in strength, then in his sovereignty. He says in verse number 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. Sometimes we don't look at that verse, do we? Sometimes we'll quote Romans 8:28, ain't that right? But we know all things, you know, and this right here. But we don't see this right here. My grace is sufficient for thee. See, grace runs through this Bible from generations to revelation. And without the sovereign love of the Father ministering to us through the Son and the Holy Spirit, there would be no real human freedom and no hope of eternal life whatsoever. Amen. Now, how could anybody know the grace of God? How would anybody know the grace of God that reaches down to fallen man? Ain't that right? See, God knows what's going on in your life. God knows what you're going through. He knows the heartache that you're suffering tonight. He knows the temptation. He knows the shortcoming. He knows all about you. And so we need to see the sufficiency of Christ. Not only in everything, in his strength, in his salvation, but what about his coming again? Looking for that blessed hope. He is all that I need, all that I'm ever going to need. He's all that I need now because I am a firm believer in Romans 8:28 and 29. Ain't you? Because the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. In other words, when we suffer heartaches, tragedy, disappointments, failures, frustrations, and bereavements, we wonder what good can come of all this right here. But yet, when we read the following verse of Romans 8:28, when we read verse 29, it says, we find the answer: for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. One of these days you're going to be informed into the image of his Son. And because of this promise, I realize that the purpose of the thorns are for the future. Sometimes we groan and we moan about what we're going through. Ain't that right? I don't like trials a bit more than you do. I don't like problems a bit more than you do. I don't like thinking. Sometimes I think of my grandmother, and I loved her dearly. She'd gone on to be with the Lord. I think about my daddy. I think about the loved ones that I have lost. I'm talking about through death, and they've gone on, and sometimes I can't get over it. I mean, sometimes I weep by myself thinking about where my daddy is and all that right there. But I want to say this right here. One of these days, when I step into that fire city, I'm talking about where flowers bloom, where the sight of the thorns will never be. I'm telling you, when I step inside that city, there where those roses are, the thorns is going to be removed from my life then. I'll guarantee you. I want to tell you that's the reason why that I like roses. I really do. I think about this all the time. I think about what I'm going through tonight. And I'll tell you what God's going to do one of these days. God's going to look at you, brother. I don't know who you are. I know you go to Lee's Chapel Church. Ain't that right? Yeah. But no matter what your problem is, God's going to say, hey, listen, I'm going to take that thorn away from you, and I'm going to give you this rose right here. That's what he's going to do to you. Do you know what the Bible says in Revelation? The Bible says, then God shall wipe away all tears. Can you think about that tonight? Can you think about what he's going to do? Not only is he going to feed us, but one of these days, he's going to take his handkerchief some way, somehow, and he's going to wipe the tears away from our eyes. I mean, there's not going to be no more thorns in our life. Brother, I don't know what you went through, but one of these days, God's going to remove that thorn from your side. One of these days, Brother Gillespie, you know what's going to happen? I don't know your heartache. I don't know your trouble or anything, but God's going to take that thorn away from you, and he's going to give you a rose. He's going to say, welcome in, my faithful brother. You watch and see. One of these days, God's going to give you a rose. One of these days, the heartaches that you're suffering now, the misfortunes you're going to have now, and the things that you cannot forget, God's going to look at you, lady, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to remove that thorn. He's going to give you a rose. That's what he's going to do. He's going to take it all away. Do you know what's a blessing about that? Is this right here. I've never seen his hand. I've never felt his hand on me physically, but in the eye of faith, he's touched me. Amen. He's helped me. I mean, he has been with me every step of the way. And one of these days, what's the amazing fact about the whole thing is God said that he's going to wipe the tears from my eyes. He's going to wipe them away from me. All the trials is going to be over with. There's not going to be no more death. There's not going to be no more sorrow. There's not going to be no more heartache. You know why? Because God's going to take that thorn away. He's going to give each and every one of us a rose is what he's going to do. We don't look at it now like that. But I believe this right here with all my heart. I believe what you go through down here, and the harder you go through the trials and you just stick it out, I believe you'll get another rose. I believe God's going to bless us just by sticking it out. Sure, we don't like it. I don't like waking up in the middle of the night wondering about my children, whether they're saved or lost. I cannot stand the thought of them crying and weeping and wailing if they die lost in their sins and go to hell. I don't like that. And I think about them out maybe somewhere getting drunk or maybe high on drugs. I don't know if they do that or not, but I think about that constantly. It's a reminder to me. A thorn in my flesh. And I say to myself, what if I get a call? What if I get a knock on the door? at 3 o'clock in the morning. They say, "Hey, I just want to tell you, preacher, your son's been in an accident, your daughter's been in an accident, your grandson drowned or something like that. I don't want that. I don't know if I can face that." But I look to that Bible right there and I see what Paul went through, and it may be a thorn now, but God says my grace is sufficient. I know when tragedy comes, God's going to be there with me. It may be a thorn in my flesh. It may be something that God uses to straighten me out. But I know this right here. When I get to that fair city, friend, when God wipes away that tear, He's going to take those thorns away from me. And I will not have to have a memory of what this world has put in my mind. Some thorns are visible. You know that. You can see them. They hurt some people sometimes. Weeping. You see that thorn at a funeral home more often than anything. I think about that young man that died not too long ago, and how his wife stood beside that casket and wept. See, tonight she's got a thorn in her flesh. She laid in that bed, no doubt. She turns over to feel her husband, and he's not there no more. She walks through the house like I used to, and I could, every now and then I could just about hear my daddy's voice. It was just all in my head, though. The thorn. Sometimes I wake up and I say, I hope it's just a dream. But it's not. It's a thorn. I think about two children, not a couple of years ago, got killed on the highway. No doubt that mom and daddy survived that. They did survive that. But you know, every day they wake up and they think about little Tommy or what their name was, or little Joey. No doubt that they hear their little footsteps running through the house. That's a thorn. That's a thorn. That's a reminder that death is real. That husband or that wife. You go home sometime, maybe you lost your wife and you could smell something in the kitchen cooking, but she's not there. It's a reminder. It's a reminder. It's a thorn. It's a thorn. It's a thorn. You say, preacher, what can you do with it? Paul prayed. He didn't get it removed. You can live with it. Because God says, my grace is sufficient. But the main thing of it is, they still hurt. And the only thing we got to look forward to is that coming day when all this right here is going to vanish away. There won't be no ugly things like this. It'll all be roses. All be flowers. So I'll stand to your feet. Paul, you and Heather come up here if it's all right with you. Mark, I want to sing that song. What a day that'll be. Let me tell you something. If you got that some kind of thorn in your flesh today, tonight, something that you can't get over, God can help you with it. He can help you with it if you'd asked Him. Would you ask Him to help you with that thorn? Help you with the heartache that you're going through, the problem that you're going through, the trial that you're going through. He'll help you. Go right here.
There is coming a day when no heartache
shall come. Let's all sing
to the song. No more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day. Jesus, I shall see, and I'll on his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Come on up now. Amen.